We need some good news. We need hope. And that is what we are celebrating today. Out of the hope that we receive these days when we gather together and hear God's word, we are comforted. We find new strength to face whatever challenges we have in order that we might face these challenges and yet return kindness to others and patience and to share joy with others. So we come here today for hope. Christmas is a sign that hope has arrived in our world, in our lives. And it has arrived in a person, in Jesus Christ. And since hope arrives in a person, in Jesus, therefore hope enters into our lives through personal interaction with Jesus. And this is what our lessons are trying to capture. Some of you may have listened to these lessons and have wanted to say to me, as someone did this morning, is Joel confused? Again? reading this lesson that clearly has to do with Easter, Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. That's the end of the story. These are supposed to be times where we hear stories about Jesus being born, shepherds and angels. Today's lessons are talking about Jesus arriving on earth. Because the hope of the world is not the teaching of Christianity. It is not Christianity's ideals or ideals. It is not a philosophy. The hope of the world that Christianity is trying to pass on from one generation to another is simply Jesus Christ. That you would know him, that others would know him, that they would know that he came, that he comes to us, and that he is returning one day. When Jesus came into the world, many of his own people were waiting for a Messiah. And many of the people of that day recognized him and put their hope in him. The dead were also waiting for Jesus. And there is no expert, no philosophy, no education that might help those whose death was an injustice. Jesus alone in all of history claims to be able to save even the dead. We are waiting and watching for Jesus Christ to return. We are praying fervently, come, Lord Jesus. And today we celebrate. Jesus has come. He was born 2,000 years ago. Jesus has come and is here in our hearts and lives. And we are still putting our hope in Jesus himself. The lessons, though, try to tell us and warn us what to expect. What is our hope, after all? That things would be set right on earth. That things would be set right in our own lives. And as close as humanity comes at times to getting things right, the church has always confessed that a perfect resolution will elude humanity until Jesus himself returns to set all things to rights for the living and the dead. And so we celebrate Christmas each year because things often get so bad in the world or in our own lives that we need to come back to this story again and again to remind us of our hope. Of Jesus who was born, of Jesus who lives within us, of Jesus who is returning one day. Since our hope is in a person, since our hope is in Jesus, then hope arrives in our life through personal interactions with him. It may be that you approached in the past once Jesus through some highly rational process. And your focus has been on arguments, and debates, and questions, and learning. But in the end, it will always come down to you taking the risk of taking the step of talking to Jesus and listening to him. Hope arrives in a dialogue, in a conversation with Jesus. And in any good conversation, it is not just you doing the talking. The other person has a chance to direct the topic. I can't see my wife's eyebrows right now, but I'm presuming that they're being raised. To be in a good conversation, you want the other person to express themselves, their heart. You want to know what's going on in their minds, who they are. It's easy for me to say, but harder to live it. This is true, especially for our conversations with God. Perhaps even more true. Which matters more, after all, my thoughts on any particular matter or Jesus' thoughts on the matter? Obviously, what Jesus thinks about something is far more important than what I think or feel about it. But if that is too hard for us to say in the moment, we can at least all agree on this, that any relationship involves at least listening to what the other person has on their mind. What is their will? But this is arguably even more true of our relationship with God. So hope arrives in a person in Jesus, and Jesus speaks to us. And many of the things that Jesus has to say to us are powerful. Behind them is the whole power of God. God who with a word brought light, God who with a word brought creation and life, now speaks words to you. And they happen. God says to you, you are forgiven. And it happens. God says you are loved. And you are. Jesus says, I will be with you to the end. And he is. But he has some things to say to us that are harder to hear. And you must remember that in the teaching of the church and the teaching of Scripture, that each one of you and every human being on earth was created to be the temple of God. Every human being was created to be the place where God would reside, where if we wanted to come face to face with God, we would come to one another and God would be present. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. To welcome Jesus into your life is to welcome him into your heart. And to welcome God into your heart is to fulfill your role and your purpose as a human being. Again, the teaching of the church and the teaching of Scripture is that the church as a whole is a temple of God on earth. And this brings us to our Scripture lessons. Do you see the connection now? God is coming to his temple. And this is not just me trying to be clever. There is examples that this is the earliest lectionary in church history going back to the 3rd or 4th century that the church always thought it was essential leading up to the birth of Jesus to read these passages to remind the listeners and the believers that what was happening was that we were welcoming Jesus not just as an event that happened in the past. We're not celebrating his birthday. We are welcoming Jesus if we wish to experience the power of Christmas. We are welcoming Jesus again into our hearts. And so Malachi warns us, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The one whom you desire will come. But he will come as like a refiner's fire or fuller's soap. The Lord will come to his temple and he will refine and purify. He will refine and purify like he was refining gold and silver. Jesus arrives in the past and today and in the future, to fulfill all of our longings and all of humanity's longings and dreams, but also to purify us like gold and silver. You purify gold and silver to remove all the impurities, to remove everything that doesn't belong anymore in it, and to reveal its true value and to reveal its true beauty. Jesus will come to us if we open our hearts and will purify us. Now we're willing with Malachi for Jesus to return to deal with all of the things that we know are so wrong, all of the injustice in the world, deal with all of the people who are so used to using their power for violence and for greed, those who keep more for themselves and are ruthless towards their employees. Yes, Jesus, come and purify the world from all wrong. The world back then, the people of Israel were looking for Jesus to come in this way as well. Yes, come and purify us from all these Romans. Purify us from all of these greedy priests. Jesus came, and the people saw their king coming to them, humble and mounted on a donkey. The people recognized that here was their hope in the flesh, their joy. They were saved. And they sang it to Jesus, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Prince has come. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven. And then Jesus entered the temple. He drove out all who were selling and buying. He overturned the tables that were of the money changers. He said, it is written, my house, my temple will be called a house of prayer. And as Cheryl beautifully illustrated, then there was room for those who needed healing to come. There was room for God to come and do the work that was meant to be happening all along. We need more than a new philosophy. We need more than a new curriculum of education or better trained teachers. We need more than experts. Our world's problems are the problems that arise from human hearts, our hearts. If we want to be on the side of God, if we want to work and pray for hope and peace in our world, it is our own hearts and our own minds that need to be changed. It is our temple, the temple of our heart, that needs to be cleaned out. And every year Advent summons us, commands us, urges us to open our hearts, to let Jesus enter, to give us hope, but also to enter into our heart, our temple, and to begin to purify us. Our hearts are meant to be places of prayer, of constant dialogue with God. We need the good news these days. And this is the good news. Jesus came. He was born to Mary. Jesus arrives again today. This is a testimony that many of you have shared. Jesus has come into your life. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And this is the good news. Jesus is returning to earth one day. But there is hard news to go with it. When the Lord appears in his temple, when he appears in your heart, what is it that he might want to remove? Is there a table set up in your heart for remembering all of the wrongs that have been done against you? Is there a table with an accountant sitting at it, keeping track of all of the slights and hurts and doling out payment in return? Is there a table set up where you purchase for yourself the desires of your heart, to feed your lust, to feed your gluttony, to feed your anger? Is there a table set up in your heart for always being right, ready to dole out advice and opinions on every matter, always having to have the last word? Is there a table set up in your heart for rational objections to faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ? Is there a table set up for serving your own pleasure and comfort ahead of the needs of others? Is there a table set up in your heart for a political cause that controls how you interact with Christians, how you interact with the world? It would be probably wiser and easier for me just to ask, what tables are set up in your hearts? Because there are tables set up there. That is part of being human. We set up tables and we become used to them, and it's so hard to step around from them. It's so hard to see them overturned and thrown away And just to be naked there in front of God and in front of one another, we feel vulnerable. We feel much safer behind the tables. Even better, if you would please ask Jesus yourself today as you approach his table. Jesus, I want to have hope for myself and for our world. I want you to come into my heart. So what has to go? These are prayers that each of us can make to our dying day when we will open them once again for good and see Jesus face to face. So as we approach this table, the table of Jesus Christ and this meal that he has prepared for you, let us make the following song a prayer that Jesus would enter into our heart and purify us. Thanks be to God that he comes to us in such a loving and gentle way to bring healing and purity in our lives. Amen.